Bibles and be in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. And I'm going to start at verse 25. Matthew, chapter 11, and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it hath seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Tonight I want to talk about laboring to rest, labor to rest. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for this passage, Lord. It's a famous passage and been read by millions, probably billions of Christians throughout the ages. And I pray tonight we would get what we need, what you have for us. Is, Lord, we had just so many sermons to preach and so many things in your word to say, and just looking for your leadership. This seemed to be where you want us to go tonight. And we ask tonight that whatever that purpose, whatever that reason is, why ever you wanted this message, Lord, that the people who need it, which is all of us, because we're needy people, and there's a lot, the truth, the word is always so good, Father, that we would get what we need. You'd help your faithful people and bless them. And Lord, just dwell among us and speak to us, Father. Help us just to leave having been conformed more to the image of Jesus and having dwelt in your presence. We don't ask these things because of the good that we are or have. We ask this because you said if you ask anything according to your will, and it's your will, that you're among your people speaking to them and changing them. And Lord, I pray you'd give us both the truth and then the grace and strength, as you said, both the will and to do of your good pleasure. And we just ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, some people, tonight we're talking about rest for your souls. Now, some people think that the way to rest is just time off. And I say that coming off vacation on that thought. And actually, our vacation was pretty restful. It can be very stressful to go on vacation. It's stressful getting ready to go to vacation and trying to get packed. Leaving on a Monday is not easy for us, especially at about 5:30 in the morning. But I'm not talking about physical rest as much today. Physical rest is, there are some simple things you do to rest physically. You get enough sleep, you take a day off, and you don't think about stressful things before you go to bed, and you get proper nutrients and eat right, and you'll get some rest for your body and relieve your stress in your life. But this passage, it talks about rest for your soul. Some people think that rest comes from not doing anything, and rest comes from a lack of doing things, which isn't a biblical concept and it isn't the way God rests our souls, because it's not talking about our bodies being rested here. Your body gets rest by sleeping and by, you know, things like we just talked about. That's good. That's important. I think you got to rest. I think most people probably rest a little too much, but I think rest is, you got to rest. You got to sleep. You got to take a day off. I think God designed that. And I think that's good and God's way. But I got our souls. Idle people don't do anything, but their souls are not rested. Matter of fact, I find generally the more idle a person is, the more their soul is not rested. And the more busy they are, generally, the more their soul is rested. I think the physical rest is different from the emotional, mental rest and the spiritual rest. And Jesus says in this passage in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest of your soul. It's about your soul being at rest. We sing this song, it is well, when peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot. Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You'll find your sleep is better when your soul is at rest and when your soul is rested. You'll find, no matter what you're doing physically, if your mind and soul is exhausted, if you're worn down, then you'll find that no matter how much you sleep or no matter how much you rest, you're not going to be rested because your soul is not at rest. And Jesus says that you'll find rest for your soul. Rest is a beautiful word and just a wonderful thing that we long for. We're a tired society. I don't think we're a tired society, though, because we work too hard. Most people don't really work that physically hard. Most people aren't swinging a sledgehammer or climbing a mountain or wrestling heavy nets anymore. There's some people who work hard physically, and you know, they're not any more stressed out. A lot of them are less stressed out because the physical work gets their anxiety out sometimes. But they're not. People aren't working in general. It's against the law to work too many hours in America. We aren't people who work from sunup till sundown, and then sleep and get up at sunup again. Generally, we're not working 90-hour weeks and 80-hour weeks. We're not working as a farmer might have done before hydraulics and before tractors and stuff like that, where all the working day, every minute, you were out picking cotton or digging or planting or plowing. But we're tired. We have a lot of leisure time. If we didn't have leisure time, the average American wouldn't watch over 5 hours of TV a day. But they'll all tell you, I'm worn out. Most people are worn out because their soul is not at rest, is why they're worn out. They're sleeping. They're in bed for 10 hours a night. They're sleeping 6.5 because they can't sleep well because their rest isn't sweet because they don't do the things the Bible says to have. They don't have wisdom, for one. Wisdom, so the Bible says when you have wisdom, your sleep will be sweet. And other passages, but they're not at rest. And I just want to talk tonight about having your soul be rested and how to do that. There's a real obvious points in a few passages we'll go to. Number one, you go to Jesus for rest. You go to Jesus for rest. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to say this. It's simple, and I can't elaborate on it all that much, just with my basic simple mind here. But it says, come unto me. I want to say, in the presence of Jesus, when you're around Jesus, you find that your soul starts to rest. I think that song, Be Still My Soul. The Lord is on thy side. And I want to say, if you think I am too tired and too worn out to pray and to spend time with God and read my Bible, no, you're too tired and worn out because you're not doing that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I just think that in his presence you find a rest and a peace. I think that if you're stressed, if you're worried, if you're panicked about life, if you are weary in your soul and worn down because of life's battles and troubles that come to you, what you need to do is get to Jesus. I think going to church, by the way, because that's where you meet Jesus, and one of the ways you meet Jesus, I think you will have more of a restful week if you go to church on Sunday than if you don't. Than if you don't, because you come into Jesus. I think you'll have more rest if you will spend time in prayer every day, if you'll spend time in the Word every day. I think the time you might lose in sleep, and I don't think with most schedules, I do not believe with most schedules that you don't have time for prayer and Bible time. I don't think that if you don't work maybe 15 hours a day. Because if you work 12 hours a day and you sleep 8 hours, you still got 4 hours to spend with God and your family, if you're married. And let's spend 3 hours with your family, spend 1 hour with God. I think that it's a matter of tuning in to other things and surfing the net and watching TV and other things. And I want to say, if you think you're too tired to really spend time with God, you got it backwards. You're saying, you know what, I am so thirsty that I don't want to get up and get a drink. It's just backward. The very thing you need if you're worn down is to prioritize, come unto Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The path of God, the way of God, the Christian life, it's restful. It is. Somehow the devil makes you think, oh, you need to go take a break from God. Those people will come back with exhausted souls, and they will come back not rested, and it doesn't work. And the way of sin is exhausting. The way of a transgressor is hard. It wears you out. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And so I think that we need to get to Jesus, number one. Number two, if you want to find rest for your soul, I think you need to take his yoke. Take his yoke. Matthew chapter 11, take his yoke. And back in our passage here, it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. If Jesus says, and I will give you rest, that's a promise. And Jesus never lies. Amen? Amen. Come unto Jesus, you're going to get rested. And then he says a second time, come unto me. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your souls. Why? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And how do you explain this? Well, it's really simple. Your yoke is heavy. Your yoke is what you carry. It's what they hook to the oxen and they pull. And you're plowing your field of your life. And that yoke you take upon you is your yoke of life and what you're worried about. And you live your life for what you want and what your priorities are and your plans and your dreams and what you think is important. And you're taking your yoke. But you know, your yoke is not light. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Care what I care about. Live for me. Give your life to me. And take my work upon you and do my work. And you work with me. And you'll find out my yoke is easy. Why? Because you are hooked up. The two oxen are hooked together. You're yoked up to an omnipotent God. And he's pulling. And you don't have to do much. You just have to yoke up and decide to plow his field. You think if the God of the universe is hooked to the same yoke as you, he can pull it and you'll be able to not have to do all that much? But you might look at God's field and say, that's really hard. That's some hard work. That field looks really tough. That looks like a lot more work. But look who's pulling when you're yoked up with God. There's no field. There's no rocks. There's no hard harvest that he can't pull. And so when you yoke up with God and when you decide to live for him and do his work, and one of the things that people are tempted to do is to not do ministry work because they need a rest. That's backward. By the way, all of our work is God's. Going to your secular job is God's. Going to spending time with your family is God's. It's all part. But now you're living for God and doing his plan and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Tell me what to do. Use me where I go. Use me at work. Use me at home. And now you're taking God's yoke because you are living for him and doing his work for your life and yoked up with him. And then you're doing the things that he cares about. What does he care about? Jesus looked up his eyes and said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers. The harvest is plenteous, and the laborers are few. He cares about souls. He cares about people. And you will not get a break, and you will not find rest for your soul by going and not doing God's work. You'll find you're yoked up with God with your life, and you'll find out that he says his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So I want to say this, laboring in God's harvest, and laboring and doing God's work, and living for God, you're taking a whole other dimension to your life. It's not just your life now. You've given God your life, and God gives you back and says, okay, it's my life. Live my life in your body. You go do what I tell you to do with your life. It's my family you're working with. It's my job. It's you're living for me. But you also take his burden of the people and the ministry and souls and Christians and take God's burden upon you. You take God, the things God cares about, and you take the burden of God upon you. And you say, my load doubled. It did, but you just yoked up with an omnipotent God. And so he says, I will give you rest if you do that. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I find this, people who are dragging their own life and dragging their own thing, they're tired. And their yoke is heavy. But when God is in control of your life, and you and Jesus are living your life, and he's dragging along with you and using you and planning your life, and you're living for him, and your money is his, and your time is his, and your family is his, and your everything is his, although it seems like it would be a lot heavier, you are yoked up with God. And trying to get more sleep and trying to find more time to do what you want to do doesn't do it. See, because Jesus said you'll find rest for your souls, but it wasn't time rest and more sleep. we find Jesus was very tired physically. Remember, we're not trying to find physical rest right now. We're trying to find spiritual rest for your soul. Don't take God's yoke upon you and think you're going to get more physical rest. You're just busier. You're just busier. I mean, you might have a friend who God puts in your heart, and you might have to wake up in the middle of the night and pray for him. You might find someone is discouraged. You might need to go take them to lunch and spend time with them when you're busy that day. You might find you're going to go witnessing on Saturday, and you might end up doing extra ministry on Sunday and not get home as early, not get as much sleep on Sunday afternoon. You might find less when you take God's yoke upon you. You might find yourself in a nursing home during the week or on Sunday. But I want to say, physically it is not easier, but your soul, when your life is God's, you find rest for your soul. Let me show you. Jesus just, we'll show you, he wasn't physically less tired. Let's look at Mark chapter 6. We could take it to John 4 and other passages about how Jesus was so busy and weary. Many times Jesus was talked about as being tired and weary with much coming and going. Mark 6, and let's start at verse 31. And he said to them, "Come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest for a while. For there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much to eat." Jesus was so busy, and he said, "Let's go apart in the desert," because there isn't even time for it. They haven't even had time to eat. Now, I want to say this. I like being busy for God. I have been busy for God. I usually find time to eat, amen. I don't know if Jesus was a Baptist. He didn't have time to eat. Baptists always do. But he didn't have time to eat. They were so tired. He said, "Let's go apart. We've been so busy." And if you said, "You know what? I don't care if you have time to eat. You God's got God's work to do." People would say, "You are crazy and you're out of balance." Okay, Jesus was crazy and out of balance. He was very busy and he didn't have time to eat. They were so busy ministering to people. Then what happened? They're getting ready to go aside. They're going to go out in the desert, a desert place, an apart place, and go rest for a while. What happens? Everyone found out where they're going and followed them. You ever tried, really needed to rest, and right when you try to get rest, somebody calls you or something happens where you cannot rest and you got to go do something right then? I never forget the time. I told the story. I was in Chicago and I was just worn out. Tired. It was Saturday, and I'd worked the night before, and I hadn't slept all night, and I got it, and I was went to Chicago and did the visiting, and it was just a discouraging day of visiting. I was just exhausted, and I just wanted to go park my car and recline and just close my eyes for a half hour and just rest for a minute. And I went away from where people were because it was a bad area, so I went to where the abandoned buildings were, and I pulled on this beside this building, reclined my seat, fell asleep. I hear sirens. He get closer and closer and closer and closer. All of a sudden, the fire truck parks right beside me. The building next to me is on fire. And here comes fire trucks, and I'm pinned in. And here they're pulling their things out. I look out. It's firemen everywhere. Police are coming. Building's on fire right next to me. I said, "I can't get a moment's rest." Jesus says, "Let's go apart and pray. We haven't even time to eat, guys." And what happens? Verse 32, "And they departed in a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities. Now it went them, and came together unto him." Jesus gets in the boat, goes to their side, and they saw him. They run to their side, and the boat comes in, and here's a whole crowd waiting for him. He's like, "Oh." Disciples like, "Oh, Jesus, we were ready to rest." They get a rest. "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." You think you see the disciples over there going, "That's good stuff, Jesus." Like, "Oh, come on, Jesus, just let them get, you know what? They came over here. I'm just going to just let them stand there and let us sleep. Let them wait there for 8 hours. They wanted that bad." And then Jesus looks and says, "They're really hungry." Now he starts teaching them a bunch. Then afterward, he says, "They're really hungry. Disciples, go and feed them." It's really fun when you're the leader and the people are already tired and don't want to do something. You ask them to do something. That's really fun. And the disciples say, "Send him away." And verse 35, "When the day was now far spent," now it's nighttime, "his disciples came and he taught them many things long into the night. And this is a desert place, so the time is now far past. Send them away They may go to the country round about and at all the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered to them, give them ye to eat. And they said, shall we do this? And what does he do? He feeds all the 5,000. You know how long it takes to feed 5,000 people when you're breaking from a few loaves? This was a long day, and they're already tired when it started. He taught them, and then he fed them when he's already exhausted. Jesus did not find rest for his body. But you know what? That's, you know, life's short. Sleep as much as you get a chance to and do that. But don't, you know what? This life is just, you're just passing through. Be busy for God. Be busy. And I think you got to take a day off. And I think you got to try to get a good night's sleep and all that stuff. But be busy for God. Be busy for God. Look at, let me take another passage. It's 1 Thessalonians. Just showing you the people who live for God were busy. And they didn't get physical rest, but they found rest for their souls. And 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 2 and verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. And other passages in 2 Corinthians and 2 Thessalonians. Paul said, we labored, he says, in wearyings often. One of the things that God spoke to me about was down at the conference, as I was talking to Brother Fisher at lunch, at dinner and talking and looking at the church, and I did things, is that church is huge on corporate prayer, praying together. And I was asking about the power of God, and he says, our church prays together a lot. We have all-night prayer meetings. I thought, boy, we live in a day where people don't want to go to all-night prayer meetings, to be honest. Matter of fact, you ask for an up-till-midnight prayer meeting. It's just tough. Because people are tired. But how bad do we want the power of God? How bad do we want that power? And so it's tiring, and so they were busy. But labor in the work of God, pulling his yoke, is physically tiring, but great for the soul. You must make sure that you aren't pulling the load, though. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, if you try to do God's work, and many people do this, and I've tried to do it myself. When you try to do the work of God in your strength, you try to start pulling his yoke. Let me tell you, his yoke is easy and his burden is light because he's hooked up to it. When you try to do it, it's heavy. You try to win a soul and think it's you and stuff and try to change a life, you will find out it's hard plowing and you will get discouraged. It's working with Jesus. It's his power. It's his strength. It's asking him for help. It's following his leading for your life. It's letting him do the work. It's letting him changing hearts and change lives. Yes, you go witness to somebody, but only he can save them. And his power of his spirit that goes with us. It's going and trying to encourage somebody, but it's not in your wisdom or your strength. It's asking for his leadership and his wisdom and his word that does the work. And you quote the Bible. See, you work with him and let him do the work, but you yoke up with him and go do his work with him. But the work of God is exhausting without God. He says, you've got to, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, because he's yoked up. And you don't go do God's work in your own strength. You let God do the work. You let God change lives. You let God win souls. You let God make your family what it ought to be and all those things. And thirdly, I'm going to go to one more passage in Hebrews. And thirdly, I want to say, number one, go to Jesus for rest. Number two, take his yoke upon you. And number three, rest in faith, Hebrews 3. This is a little bit of a lengthy passage here. Rest in faith. Learned some new things when I was studying this. And interesting things about the rest in Hebrews. Hebrews 3 and 4 talks a lot about rest. And rest in several things. And we'll get to those maybe in another message. But verse 17 in Hebrews 3. Let me go back to Hebrews 3, 9. Let's start there. It says, when your fathers tended me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore was I grieved at that generation? And say they do always err in their heart and have not known my ways. So God speaking, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, and exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Sin wears you out. I want to say this. The story here is a provocation, Numbers 13 and 14. They're getting ready to go to the promised land, and they say they come up to the promised land. They go to Kadesh Barnea, and then they send the spies, and the spies come back. And they said it's the giants are there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And God calls this a provocation because they made God angry. And God said, because you made me angry, you're not going to get a go into the promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb. In this passage, when it's referred to, he says they did not get to enter into my rest because of their unbelief. Now, logic here for a sec. They didn't get to enter into what God called his rest. The rest was a promised land. Why was the promised land called a rest? They had to go fight giants. They had to go fight walled cities. The people who didn't get to go into the rest, that God said you didn't get a rest, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They weren't fighting any battles. They weren't planting any crops. God was feeding them with manna. Their feet, their shoes, or clothes were growing with them. They kind of had it easy physically. Set up your tent, tear it down. Stay there for sometimes a month, sometimes a day, and they just wandered around. Didn't go very far. They weren't long marches, and they stayed there a lot. But God said they didn't get to enter into my rest. My rest is in the promised land. The promised land was full of battles. But God says they didn't get to go into my rest. Why? Because God was fighting for them in the promised land. And wandering around is not rest. I want to say this. Talk to some old people who haven't done much with their life and just lived their life. Talk to them in 50s and 60s, and you'll find out they aren't at rest, and their life was just a tiring existence. Find people who accomplished something, and you'll find out that their life was fulfilling. Fulfilling. Their life mattered. And so he's going to continue on this same theme, going to talk about the entering the promised land as his rest. Verse 17. But to whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear that he should not enter into his rest, but to them which believed not? So then we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why? Could they not enter into God's rest? Didn't believe. Unbelief. You don't get to enter into God's rest because you do not have faith that God can do what he says. And because we don't have faith that God, to believe God, you don't obey him. See, if you believe God can do something, you obey him, trusting God in faith that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. We believe God can conquer the promised land. He told us to go in. We believe God. We can do it. Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them, we're going to die. We're like grasshoppers on their side. Why did they bring us here? We should go back to Egypt. God says, you don't have faith and you don't believe me. You're not going to enter into my rest. You're going to wander and wander, and you're never going to settle down. And you're going to wander in your life of unaccomplishment and of mediocrity, and you're just going to wander your whole life where God's people are planted, although they have battles, in victory. They get the victory, and they get to go in and conquer, and then they get a rest in the land. But going with God, God sent bees in front of them to drive out their enemies. God sent wild beasts against their enemies. God made the walls crumble. See, God went with them and pulled a yoke with them, and so it was restful, and they got to do that. And so when you find a rest and faith in God, you believe God, you trust God enough to obey, and then you find a rest because God is, your life is in the hands of God, and you can rest. Look at, let's start at verse, chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, and then they heard it. So we see faith is a rest. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. And as he said, I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The victory has already been worked. God already prepared the promised land for them to get there. God was going to give them rest and victory in going in there, because God already did the works. They might not go there and find the works that God already did because they didn't have faith to believe. I want to say this. If you obey God, God's already done the work. God tells you to witness to somebody and you say, that's crazy. That guy will never get saved. God already prepared their heart. The work's already done, whether you go witness them or not. The work's prepared, and it's a restful work. And so, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his labors. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, to whom it was first preached, enter not in because of their unbelief. Again he limited a certain place, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you'll hear my voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he have not afterwards spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, referring to salvation, as God did from his. Verse 11 is where we get the title of the sermon. Let us labor therefore to enter into his rest. Labor to enter into his rest. And I think that's important. It's real simple. And this last point is just rest in faith. Most of our stress, most of our lack of rest, most of our mind and we have is because we don't trust God. Do you believe God? If you put him first, he'll provide your needs. Do you believe God can provide for you a spouse if you need one? Do you believe that God can give you the strength to make it? Do you believe God can protect you? When you don't believe God, you don't rest that you're in the hand of God, and you worry. And rest and worry don't coexist. So you enter in faith and just say, you know what, God? I trust you. The ship is rocking and the waves are big, but you know what, God? I trust you. And some people rest and some don't. But they don't enter into that rest because of their unbelief. Do you believe God can do whatever needs done? Do you believe God is big enough to take care of you? Do you believe God is omnipotent? Do you believe God cares? Do you believe God is a loving Heavenly Father that can protect you and take care of you? And you don't need to be stressed out. What's going to happen to our nation? Just rest in God. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my finances? Just put God first and believe God and rest. Because you enter into that with belief. And you rest in faith, trusting God, and saying God can take us into the promised land. You know what, God? There's some big giants there. There's some big walled cities. But Father, you're telling us to go in, and you told us you'd prepare the way, and you just said we can go in there. So you know what? I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen when we get there. We're just going to go in and rest in you. You're pulling with us. We trust you. And those ones were men of renown who got to be talked about for thousands of years, Joshua and Caleb. They got to go in because they believed God. Rest in faith. You rest in faith. You take his yoke upon you. And you go to Jesus for rest. And then you find rest for your soul. And I want to say, when your soul's at rest, though your body's a little tired, you're still okay. And though you find... And by the way, you ever seen a family on vacation whose souls weren't at rest? Doesn't matter. They got lots of time to sleep and play. They hate each other. And they're stressed. And they're, because their soul's not at rest. Rest your soul in Jesus Christ. He will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us to just have souls that rest in faith, living our lives for you, that our lives are in your hand, doing your work, just come unto you and spending time with you. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden. Father, I find we always find that our own yokes are pretty heavy. Help us to come to you. Help us to spend time with you. Help us to exchange our yoke for your yoke, even though we think our yoke's the most important. Help us let you pull. Help us to trust you. And claim those wonderful promises, and you shall find rest for your souls. Thank you for the word. In Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed.